The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers, oh, thy great one. Oh, can we get him a wide receiver in round one ever? Oh, Aaron Rodgers, give him some help. I want to see the freaking Packers take a wide receiver.
Chris Sims singing his Aaron Rodgers song. They got some wide receivers. They didn't take one in the first round.
They haven't taken a receiver.
Any offensive player in the first round since Jordan Love last year. Well, he's the only one in 10 years they've taken in round one, and he plays quarterback, and that issue continues. As we begin our trek into May, we approach rookie minicamps, OTAs,
whoop,
mandatory
whoop.
Minicamps.
Football.
This Rodgers thing, Chris, it has hijacked the entire National Football League.
Yes, it has.
It really has. It's the only topic anyone cares about. It has taken the Russell Wilson drama that lingered for a week or two.
Right.
And made that look like that was a pimple on the rear end of a football. This thing now is a far bigger story than Wilson's was, and it's got a sense of immediacy to it because the clock is ticking and the Packers need to make some decisions. And by all appearances, their decision is to just wait it out.
Yeah, that's
see
right.
See if he means it.
Right.
Call his bluff.
Right.
And it's almost like what the Texans had to deal with, but the Texans at least dealt with it in January and February.
No doubt. Yes.
The Packers are dealing with it in May and June, where You get a little more nervous. You get a little more antsy,
right?
As these days unfold, because you see that reporting date in late July getting closer and closer and closer every single day.
Yeah, those are the things you don't want to like have unsettled things going to training camp, especially with your star quarterback and not knowing where that stands. So it is. It's getting towards that dangerous time where teams, of course, want to formulate their team and have the leader and who's our quarterback. And we know he does this well and doesn't do this well. And we can't do that in the offense. I mean, that's all part of the puzzle of putting it together and being a good football team. So, yeah, it feels a lot like Deshaun Watson. I was going to say the same thing to you, where it just seems like it's inevitable. It's not on good terms. And it's like, I don't think the organization loves Rodgers, but hey, he's still really good and they know they need him. And it just seems like Rodgers could care less about the organization at this point and is really dug in. But how dug in, Mike? That's going to be the big question for me.
Well, because you play it out the way it went with Watson and the way it's still going with Watson for reasons unrelated to his discontent with the Texans, because I think the Texans had reached that point of acceptance just before other issues complicated Watson's future. But with Watson, the prospect of sitting out a year, no big deal. Mid-20s. He's got a lot of football left. if he really wants to dig in with the Texans, yeah, I'll sit out a year. I'll sit out 2 years. I still play 15 beyond that.
Right.
With Aaron Rodgers, the train's pulling into the station.
That's right.
Far closer to the end than the beginning.
Yep.
You're going to give up a year? You're going to give up half a year? You know, the Carson Palmer situation is the one that gets mentioned most often in comparison to Rodgers because Palmer was done with the Bengals. The owner was hard-headed. The owner said, go ahead and rot. I don't care. And he sat and he sat and he sat until a fluke broken collarbone suffered by Jason Campbell opened the door to multiple first-round picks. Problem solved. But to get there, Carson Palmer had to sit out 6 weeks of the season. Does Rodgers even want to do that? Does he want to miss one game, given that he's only got 4 years left? So whatever this plan is, if it entails playing in 2021, they need to do something more, I think, to get the point across. And this gets back to the message I've been sending ever since Thursday, Friday, when this all first came up. You got to tell us what you want. You got to let everyone know what you want.
Mike, I'm with you. You can't play games anymore.
You got to say what you want.
Yeah.
If you're going to get what you want, you got to say what you want.
Yeah, that's right. That to me is where it's the biggest question of the whole scenario. I mean, I'm with you. I think that's it. You've kind of said this for a long, long time. I give you a lot of credit. I mean, I think your read is right. Yeah, Rodgers is that kind of guy that he doesn't want to be the bad guy. He doesn't want to do that. Well, okay, that's fine and dandy, but for right now, in this situation, the way you just explained it, like, is Rodgers willing to get his hands dirty and, like, kind of look like a jerk for a little while with the Green Bay Packer fan base and everything like that to basically force a move somewhere else? Is he willing to do that? And I really don't know. It's odd. Like, I felt like with Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, like, I had a feeling of, like, you know what? When they need to be the bad guy, they'll do it. I don't know if Rodgers has it in him to do it, and that's the big question. What do you feel about that?
I think he'll do whatever he has to do to pander to the fans.
Yeah,
He will do some major league pandering to the fans at the appropriate time, whether that's financial contributions, billboards, open letters in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Okay.
Whatever he has to do, it'll be a political campaign where he panders to the fans and bends over backwards to get them on his side.
But do you think he'll go scorched earth, though? Do you think he'll go scorched earth on Green Bay, though, to make that happen and kind of force their hand and really go like, hey, I'm done. I'm serious. I'm out of here. I don't want to do that. You know, he's going to have to say some of those things publicly, too, and probably make this a little bit messier and then do what you said. And I'm just not sure if he's willing to do that first part. Like, what do you think about that?
I think that's his nuclear option, that he's moving his finger towards
closer.
The
yeah, right, right.
But I'm not sure he's ever going to press it, right? I'm not sure he's ever going to do it. He wants to try to get out without having to actually go that far, because at that point it really does increase the possibility that fans will turn on him no matter what he does to pander to them. And I think that's where the Packers are calling his bluff the most. It's not just go ahead and sit out. It's go ahead and go scorched earth. We dare you to take us on. We're the Packers, community owned. You take on us, you're taking on the fans necessarily. Anyone who has that framed stock certificate on the wall in their den, you're taking them on too. That's how I could see the Packers couching it and just daring him to turn it into a big fight, because they ultimately think he won't, because that's the read they have on him. I still think Mark Murphy's the guy who's the puppet master here, working this thing out, keeping Aaron Rodgers just upset enough so he plays well, but not so upset that he upsets the apple cart. And now he's trying to upset the apple cart, and Murphy thinks he won't do it. When push comes to shove, you won't do it. However, teammates are starting to get the message. Davante Adams, a cryptic tweet from Monday, but, you know, either he's sending a message about the situation or he's completely and totally tone deaf to the broader circumstances of his life right now. And that happens from time to time with athletes. They claim, oh, I wasn't talking about that 600-pound block of Limburger cheese sitting in the living room, even though I was. Got to appreciate what you got while you got it, Davante Adams said. Possibly a message to himself.
Seriously.
Aaron Rodgers, that's what I was.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know? Or a message to Packers fans. I mean, multiple levels and layers of message, Chris, complicated by the fact that Aaron Rodgers saw that tweet, and he's one of the 53,000 plus who clicked the like button.
Boom.
So, yes.
Yeah.
See, it's gonna continue to play this way for Aaron Rodgers. He's gonna try to do it. Just be an irritant.
Yeah.
Just
he's passive aggressive,
and
as
agitate.
You said. Yeah.
Yes. And all it takes is that one day that Mark Murphy says, "All right, I've just had enough. I'm too old for this crap. Let's just look. We're gonna feel better to be done with this guy because he's never gonna come at us the way that we want." It's going to constantly be sniping and these backhanded comments.
Right.
And he's going to be stirring. And I think he's hoping to shake their resolve. And then there will be a point. And I'm sure he's got it all mapped out, all planned out. He had last Thursday planned out. He's probably got various steps and strategies up until the first day of training camp, up until the first day of the regular season, up until the trade deadline. I'm sure he's got it all mapped out and all planned out. See, that's when everyone thinks you're really smart, they're going to assume that you're really smart, and they're going to assume that you're really calculated, that you're strategic, and I consider that a compliment.
Yeah.
You got to have a plan for your life.
Sure.
And I think Aaron Rodgers has a plan for this season, and he's working his way through the steps.
Whoop.
And I think he's in the, let's just irritate them as much as I can so they'll throw their hands in the air and trade me.
It does seem like, yeah, he's in that phase. I mean, I agree with you in the fact that he probably does have a little, yeah, some sort of plan, a plan of attack here. There's no doubt. Here's one that I keep coming back to in this whole situation, Mike, and maybe you got a good thought on it or you know something that I don't. But, like, why do this now? Why do it now? That's where I come back to it. To where, like, at first, I didn't want to believe maybe Rodgers was behind some of this stuff that got released, you know, late last week and all of that. My tune has changed, obviously. But what I'm just, like, confused about from his side of this, right, and you know you don't want to be there, why do it at the draft? And I know there's the Jordan Love last year, and maybe it's payback, but if you really want out of there, why not make this known as soon as the season was over? You know, you would have had lots of options and things like that and really been able to figure out or steer your boat in the direction you wanted to go as far as the team you wanted to play for. I mean, he really closed some options out. I have a hard time thinking, like, hey, the New England Patriots, would they have been involved with Aaron Rodgers if they knew he was available, you know, late February, early March? I bet you they would have. He would have had a whole bunch of other options. That's where I don't get it from his camp or his side, Mike.
Well, I think the Rams are the most significant example
Remember,
mm-hmm. Two things. Sam Farmer of the LA Times reported that the Rams called the Packers and the Packers shot that down because they didn't want it to become a thing the way that Russell Wilson was a thing at the same time. And number two, at one point, Les Snead used the phrase beautiful mystery in a different context altogether.
You are right.
Thinking, What's he up to?
You're right. I remember that.
I think this, and this comes back to the point we were just discussing a few minutes ago about when and if Aaron Rodgers is willing to go scorched earth and be the bad guy. I think his plan from end of season until draft was to try to make it all happen quietly and behind the scenes without it becoming public.
Right.
Without it looking like he's the one that wanted out. And I also think that part of that was so he could stake out some real estate if he got traded, say, wasn't me. I didn't do it. I didn't ask for it.
Right.
You know, would that surprise us?
No.
If that was what the plan was and he does get traded and he acts like, hey, you know, they're just implementing their plan. We all knew this day was coming the moment they drafted Jordan Love. I mean, there'd be something he could say to spin it back around on them, and they're not going to get into a street fight with him, especially after they've traded him. He'll be able to say whatever he wants.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think that was the plan. 3 months to get them to do it, and they kept digging in. You know, they went out there three times, I'm told.
I mean, it sounds
three
at least.
Three times they went out there.
Right.
Yeah, maybe more to try to get his feathers unruffled. And he, you know, he held firm. And I think they called his bluff. Maybe they knew.
Yeah.
Maybe he told them, hey, guys, here's how it's going to go down. You don't trade me. You're going to find out. First day of the draft, it's all going to hit. Just mark my words, it's all going to hit. that I want out. Get ready for it. I'm giving you fair notice. You're going to have a distraction that gets dropped right on your plate as you're getting ready for the draft. This is all going to start to come out. You have until then to make it happen. If it doesn't happen by then, the world is going to know that I want out. And they may have thought, baloney, baloney. You're not going to do that. We know how you operate. Now, look, this is far more candid of a communication here than maybe what they had. It was far more subtle, I assume. But the events would tend to suggest that he had that plan in mind. He gave them that 3 months to do it. They didn't do it, and he acted on his threat. Now the question is, what else has he threatened to do? And will they continue to not believe that he'll keep doing it? And I think that's why we're at that point where are they going to call his bluff all the way to the point where he goes scorched earth? So I think that answers the question. They just decided that he wouldn't make it known that he wants out, so they didn't feel compelled to trade him.
Yeah, and now they're dealing with it. And then now, I mean, listen, now, I mean, dealing with it, but again, I think they're in phase two of, like, let's call his bluff again. I don't think he'll go any more serious than what he just did this past weekend. And I don't know. Yeah, I have a hard time believing he will, too. I do. You know, I mean, hey, at base.
How do you walk this back, though? How do you tuck tail between your legs and show up after all this is out there? How do you do it? He's a very prideful person.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. He just is. A lot of guys playing in the NFL are very prideful. How do you say, oh, well, they got me. I yield. Take the king and knock it over. You win. I just don't see him doing that.
I know. Well, I could see him kind of finagling a way of, hey, I'm not. Yeah, there's things I didn't like and I'm not happy. And he'll find a way. He's very smart, as we've seen in the past. I mean, you've mentioned it. I think he can probably, if he does decide to walk it back, he'll find the right way and tune to do it. He will. You're right. And he'll probably, Mike, you make a good point, too. He'll probably do some charity stuff and things like that to lessen the blow of everything as well with it. He is very calculated. There's no denying that. I mean, the other thing I just come back to is, you know, hey, one, is he willing to go scorched earth and make this a real public fight and really, you know, squeeze the Green Bay Packers? Hey, number two, you know, I know there's still going to be teams that are willing to trade for him right now or things like that. He is Aaron Rodgers, but man, so many of these teams have already made their bed and are kind of getting cozy and sleeping in it, going like, this is our team this year. You know, so like I said, he took those options away. And then the biggest thing to me here too is he just, man, are you willing, again, as much as I get disappointed with Green Bay and not going all in on Rodgers, are you really going to, you know, give away or leave a team that's, you know, on the cusp of Super Bowl? Yeah, maybe not really a legit Super Bowl contender without Aaron Rodgers, but still, he's got to be thinking like, man, we were this close last year. We could get back. There's no doubt. We could win it. You know, you're really going to give that away, like you said, at the end of your career, maybe 3, 4, 5 years left. We're really towards the end of the prime and special things. That's where, and I know he's aware of legacy and he wants to be, you know, the GOAT and all those type of things. That's where I don't know if he's going to be willing to retire or just totally walk away and give that away. I just can't imagine him doing that.
Well, there's two different things there. There's retirement and giving up the rest of your career, and then there's trying to finagle a path to Denver, where who knows how good that team could be.
That's the team, yeah.
Constituted if Aaron Rodgers gets plugged in as the quarterback automatically. There's a risk there, but there's a hell of a potential reward. There's a lot that you said that caught my attention, and one of the things, and Matt Casey mentioned this in my ear while you were talking, as it relates to the path back to Green Bay. We could see a situation where Aaron Rodgers, as part of the broader effort to win the fan base, say, basically, yes, there are issues between me and the front office. There are no issues between me and Matt LaFleur.
Yes.
There are no issues between me and the team. There are the players. There are no issues between me and the fans. So I'm coming back to do this right. I'm coming back to do everything I can to deliver a Super Bowl. We'll deal with my issues with the front office after the season. Because if you frame it that way,
yes,
if you do it just right,
right,
then as he wins games, he rallies support. It becomes like a weird
fans deserve another title.
Situation.
Like, I'm going to do it for you guys.
Where the fans get caught in the middle of it, and the two parties involved are manipulating them, and there's nothing the front office can do to manipulate them during the regular season. If Rodgers comes back and he's more motivated than ever with each victory, with each step they get closer and closer to the Super Bowl, they are on his side, and they see his side, and they become converted to the idea, if they aren't already, that the team is in the wrong. The front office is in the wrong, and Rodgers is in the right. The problem is, right now, what's unfolded since last Thursday, there are some fans, at least the ones I deal with anecdotally, that have been yelling at me via email, all caps, screaming at my eyeballs for years that the Packers are right and that you, why are you trying to create trouble and you're wrong about Aaron Rodgers, and now they're starting to kind of pivot the other way.
They're going, and yeah, great. They're looking at Rodgers. You mean they're going?
They're more, looking at Rodgers.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say
they're
like
making a mess.
No doubt, I agree. The public opinion has swayed back to where early last week. You know, we actually had this conversation, I think, a little bit, where I just went, man, I think if Rodgers wanted to do something or anything like that, if he did it the right way, you know, public opinion's on his side. But it's not anymore. It's definitely not. It's gone the other way. I do think he angered people, not only Green Bay fans, that this became an issue and everything like this, but just the normal NFL fan, I think, feels a little bitter towards Rodgers that he kind of like hijacked the draft weekend to a degree. You know, it's going to come off and look a little selfish to those people, the casual fan, things like that. And yeah, I don't think he's, you know, in favor with the public here or up in Green Bay with the way it looks over the last 4 or 5 days.
Let me say this: as the owner and operator of an NFL-based media outlet, I have no complaints. I have none whatsoever. Keep it coming, Aaron Rodgers. Keep doing whatever it is that you have to do in order to make this news continue, because it's great for our business, that's for sure. It's not great for the betting business. The folks at PointsBet have removed the over-under win totals for the Packers and the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. So, man.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, and what's that tell you? That tells you that somebody somewhere knows that if this is going to go down, it's not going to be the Raiders. It's definitely not going to be the 49ers at this point.
Nope.
It's going to be the Broncos. The three teams that he's had on his private wish list for I don't know how long, at least days, maybe weeks. 49ers, Raiders, Broncos. Maybe the Rams.
I think it's weeks.
You know, the thinking is he wants to get to the West Coast.
Yes.
The Packers aren't going to keep him in the conference. I think folks have started to come to that conclusion, and there's no other spot right now.
Right.
Although, you mentioned rosters being set. I think teams would be inclined.
Yes, I know. I said that too, but yeah, you're right. It's Rodgers, so they're still going
to
do it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, they're just getting cozy in the bed they made is what I was kind of saying, to where they're going to be like, man, we just set our team, but okay, you're right. They're still going to call. It's Aaron Rodgers.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
We made the point last week how Jeopardy became sort of a pawn in this chess match between Rodgers and the Packers. And you wonder at what point the folks at Jeopardy are watching this saying, is this a guy we really want to be dealing with for the next 30 years?
Right.
Do we want to be dealing with
him? Do we want Turd Ferguson?
You never know when it's going to flip to Turd Ferguson. That's the problem.
Right.
What if you're one of these other teams and you know, you've heard about Aaron Rodgers, a little prickly, a little hard to deal with.
Yeah.
Is he so good that you just don't care?
Right. That's it. Mike, everybody knows. They know what Aaron Rodgers is. There's no doubt about that. I've had this conversation with enough people over the last few years in the NFL that, yes, you know, hey, good guy, smart guy, little different, you know, going to challenge you, going to question everything you do, all those type of things. Yeah, could be a little weird to coach here and there, but damn, he's Aaron Rodgers and he's good. And that's what it's going to come back down to when it all, you know, boils down to the point at hand here. But like the Broncos thing, yeah, that's the one I look at, Mike. And I'll say this again, I'm not into breaking news or doing anything like this, but I think I did tell you the Broncos were a team about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I had heard from somebody I really trust in the NFL that was associated with Rodgers. Now, I understood it as it was something that would happen after the 2021 season, that would be the team that might make a play for him, and he had his eye on them. So it was, you know, a natural fit that way. But it makes sense. We talked about it a little last week, that defense, those weapons, everything like that. And, hey, if the Dolphins were involved in the Deshaun Watson conversation, they still got a whole damn crap load of picks they can trade away if they really want to make a play here for Aaron Rodgers too. So those are two teams that at least just jump out to me at face value to say if they want to get it done, they can get it done.
One big question becomes how intent he is on being west of Texas, because there aren't a whole lot of options. You got the Chargers, no. The Rams, no. The Seahawks, I still think John Schneider, Packers shareholder, should entertain the possibility of a flip-flop of Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. I still think that that's worth considering because it solves both teams' problems.
It does.
Although it introduces different problems for both teams as well. The Packers would have to give Russell Wilson at some point a gigantic contract, and the Seahawks would have to assume whatever issues the Packers have, because I have a feeling John Schneider runs the Seahawks the same way that the Packers run the Packers, because that's where he grew up in the business. So why do I want a guy that has an issue with the front office when I run my front office kind of the same way the Packers run theirs?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a valid point. It is, you know, it's different people, and at least they haven't scarred him like the Packers front office. So, you know, again, it is an interesting thought. I have thought about it too. I brought it up on my podcast yesterday, just going, I mean, if they really don't want, you know, Wilson, and they really don't want Rodgers, yeah. I mean, well, you could make it real easy, make the flip. You're right. You got to worry about the contract situation with Wilson that's going to arise here. And then with Rodgers, where you'd be different there is you just have to go, well, you know, I don't know how long he'll be here for us. That'll be the big thing. So they'll both have their issues to deal with, but it does make sense at a base level. There's no doubt. I just, do you think either team would be willing to do that? I can't imagine.
I think it's going to take a lot of work because you're trading one problem for another. It's just a different problem.
Yeah,
that's the reality. And I also think there's a broader issue at play here as NFL teams try to resist the proliferation of the NBA mindset, where you have players who are taking over their careers.
Right.
And I think the league at large, the teams generally are looking at this saying, this isn't good for anybody if players have this much power.
Right.
So I think that's part of the resistance, too, that would go between Seattle and Green Bay, because, yeah, you'd be getting a different quarterback to plug in, but you also would be, for two major players, giving them what they want and pushing the pendulum closer and closer to NBA, not NFL, which I don't think the teams want. Terry Bradshaw,
yeah.
We got to get to this. Four Super Bowl championships, along with Joe Montana. They got leapfrogged by Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers still has three to go to catch them. Bradshaw was on WFAN, the Moose and Maggie show, yesterday, and had some things to say about Aaron Rodgers. Let's have a listen to the original TB12.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone number one, Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had him coming at me from all angles. I embraced it because when we went to practice, I wasn't worried about those guys. You know, it didn't scare me a bit. So I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay. And then if they fire the general manager, he'll come back. Are you kidding me? Really? Aaron, that's where this is. Here's what I'd do. I wouldn't budge. Let him gripe. Let him cry. Retire. You're 38. Go ahead and retire. See you later. I mean, I'm really strong about stuff like that. And it just makes him look weak. In my way of looking, it makes him look weak.
Do you think the threat is an empty one of retirement from Rodgers?
Hadn't thought of it like that.
I love how you just get exactly what you see.
Oh, just raw emoji. Like, he's like, you know, I really never thought of it. Never. So wait, let me think about it right here. Hold on.
And then he went back and forth. He went back and forth on it four or five times. And he said, I've never been this wishy-washy on anything in my life. But I think he eventually, if I recall correctly, and who the hell knows, because he was back and forth on it so many times, I think he eventually said, he's bluffing, call his bluff.
Right.
And that's the old school football mindset.
Right.
Call his bluff. That's what we think the Packers are going to do, at least for now, call his bluff. So I think Terry probably was already on the list of guys Aaron Rodgers doesn't like. If he wasn't, he's the latest name to be added to it.
Yeah, right.
Calling him out the way that he did, Chris.
He just put his name above yours. That's what he did. He was like, wait, Florio at the top of the list. Hold on. I got one little space here. Bradshaw on top now. Well, I
said to somebody yesterday that I've been on the list for so long, the page my name is on is more cracked and yellow than Kramer's teeth when he started smoking.
Oh, well, don't.
That's how long I've been on the list.
Don't worry. He gets a fresh piece of paper and a nice new marker every now and then.
It's laminated, like his vaccination card.
He gets it up there. He ain't going to forget. Don't you worry. But, you know, listen, it is difficult to watch with Rodgers. It is, I think, very strange for the old school player and even fan to get their head wrapped around, like, the current state of athletics, the way stars are, Aaron Rodgers, whatever it may be. You know, there's all issues there. You know, first off, what I would want to say to Terry Bradshaw is just go, it's not about he cares about the quarterback. He's not worried about that. It's just about he wants the team to commit to him. He doesn't want to go on. He doesn't want to be in a 1 year, wait, are they going to keep me or are they not going to keep me thing? It's not about Jordan Love or anything like that. So that's where I would say to that. And, you know, he brings up like the point about, hey, they drafted quarterbacks and things like that. Well, yes, they drafted quarterbacks and you embraced it. One, you've already won four Super Bowls at that point. So you're the king of Pittsburgh. We know that. There's no threat to you. And two, he was coming to the end of his career. Like, it wasn't MVP level style or type of football anymore. That's where it's a little different too with Rodgers and everything like that. So that's where I would just go. And then, hey, I mean, Terry Bradshaw.
And they didn't draft Dan Marino in 1983 because they still had Terry Bradshaw.
Exactly. And like Terry Bradshaw.
And he threw eight more passes.
Exactly. So it was coming to an end and like everybody knew it to a degree. The other thing too is just like, I mean, Bradshaw's been very sensitive. That's the only thing that bothered me a little bit yesterday where I want to go, wait, this is the guy who didn't go back to Pittsburgh for 30 years because what? They didn't let him retire on his own terms, right? I mean, isn't that basically what it was about? He felt like he didn't get to do it his way. Rodgers,
he held a grudge.
Rodgers wants to do it his way. I mean, So that's where I just don't like the Bradshaw take. He's a guy I really love and I love listening to, but I didn't totally agree with everything he said there.
But I will say this, when they did use a first-round pick on quarterback Mark Malone, now the times were different.
That's another thing.
There was no internet.
That's right.
There was no sports talk radio.
Right.
It wasn't a big eruption as far as anyone knew.
Right.
And maybe he just kept his mouth shut until he got to one training camp and realized this guy stinks. There's nothing for me to be worried about.
Yeah, no,
all due respect.
Yeah, right. Well, I think that's I have a feeling, and I've heard that's kind of like Aaron Rodgers thought up in Green Bay. It was like, this guy's raw. He's nowhere near ready. I'm not worried. I think he realized that real early last year. I heard that from people up there. So, you know, I don't think that's it. And yeah, you know, with Bradshaw, come on, early on in his career, man, he hated Chuck Knoll. He wanted to kind of get the hell out of there. He was miserable. So that's where I just don't like. Come on. Let's not be hypocritical now because there's somebody doing it. And to your point, Mike, come on, the world is different. It's different for these athletes. Social media has upped the ante in a big way. You know, like you said, back in those days, hey, there was three TV stations and a radio station. That's all everybody listened to. Now you go on your phone and you look at something and you could find 90 million things of like, Rodgers is a choke artist. Rodgers is not the greatest. All like, he's pinned to a label forever in this generation. And all these athletes are. And that's why they've taken power into their own hands, because they're going to go, wait, I'm done with like hoping my GM and I can get lucky that my team will set me up. they're being held to a standard. So they're going, nope, I'll be my own GM. I'm going to get in my own place. If they're going to compare legacies and do all this, well, not everybody gets to be like Magic Johnson on the Lakers that has Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and all these other good players, and then you get fortunate to win all those games and other great athletes who have had that. So athletes are trying to make their own moves now. That's a different generation. It's not apples to apples is what I'm saying. It's not fair to compare it.
If social media existed in the early 70s, Terry Bradshaw would have been doing two shows a night, guitar in hand, singing country music, telling jokes, saying things that he shouldn't be saying publicly about the football team, and it would have been the most entertaining thing going.
It
so
would've.
Maybe he just feels like he just was born at the wrong time, or at the right time, as the case may be. Kyle Shanahan, he thought the right time last week was to kick the tires a little bit on whether or not Aaron Rodgers would be available. John Lynch was a little gutsy last week in acknowledging it publicly. Kyle was on with Rich Eisen yesterday, and Kyle talked about it as well. Let's have a listen.
Is it any truth that you called the Packers upon hearing these rumors about Aaron Rodgers to see if that could work out potentially?
Yeah, the exact truth is I don't want to wake up the next day on Friday and see Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in this league, traded without doing any due diligence on it. So I just called Matt and asked him if there was anything to it. And Matt told me I'd be wasting my time if we had Lynch call. And so Lynch did not call anyone the next day. But, yes, I did reach out to Matt the night before and asked him hey, man, I don't want to wake up the next day and see that Aaron was traded for something. I didn't at least look into it. And so that's what I did with Matt, and he gave me a very quick answer. So I didn't even tell John to call Goody. So I think that was worked out, I guess. We were happy to get our guy, and hopefully it'll work out for them.
Two observations. One, that photo is mesmerizing to me. It tells me that coaching the 49ers ages you like professional wrestling.
Seriously.
Doesn't it? My God.
He looks like he's 22 there. Now he looks like he's 45 right now. I know. Yes, it has.
Here's the other thing, too. When he said, I didn't want to wake up Friday morning and find out that Aaron Rodgers was traded, this reinforces my belief that we're dealing with master class in how to pull strings and manipulate. I think the 49ers became a pawn in the effort to get the news out, that as they looked for a way to kick off the avalanche of reports that came out last Thursday, the best way to kick it off is to have a report that the 49ers called the Packers about a possible trade for Aaron Rodgers. And I think that Kyle heard enough from someone close enough to Rodgers to believe it was worth making an exploratory phone call to Matt LaFleur, and then, lo and behold, the next day it comes out.
Yeah, I think your read's right. That would be my read on the situation. You're exactly right. That let somebody let Shanahan, the 49ers, know, you're right, that, you know, the situation, it would seem like it would be from somebody from Rodgers' camp to make sense. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you hear... That's where it's weird to me, too. Like, Rodgers apparently was aware of this trade request, right? Or things like that. I mean, haven't we heard reports of that? That he was aware of it? Like, that's where I'm like, where? Told him?
Yes.
Where did that go? All that type of stuff, too. So, yes, I think there's a lot of inside knowledge that maybe you and I don't know, that other coaches in the NFL are aware that, you know, something's going down here behind the scenes in Green Bay.
And it was more than just you're wasting your time and that was the end of it. They may have decided to waste some of their time to put a preliminary package together just to see if the Packers would bite. Because my understanding is it was more than just a, you guys really aren't trading this guy, are you? No, what, are you crazy? Okay, see you later. My understanding, it was more than that, based upon the original reporting and some information that I picked up sparked by the original reporting. So I think it got farther along.
Yeah.
Then just a quick call from Kyle Shanahan to Matt LaFleur. Let's take a break. Dave Gettleman chiming in on Aaron Rodgers and also explaining why he did something that he hadn't done his entire career, traded down in round one of the draft. We'll talk about that when PFT Live continues right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Pixar people, and yet make, you know, calculated risks, whether you acquire them or give them up. I feel good about what we did today in the draft. I'm sure Dave's got a concussion or something, so we'll make sure you check on him, you know, overnight, and we'll get back to work tomorrow.
Joe Judge, Giants coach, trying to take a page from Jack Easterby and working a little stand-up. Comedy.
Oh, don't compare him to Easterby. Don't do that. That was not, that was good. It got me a chuckle. Okay. Got me a chuckle.
Yeah. Head injuries are always funny. They're always, well, you always lead with the head injury joke.
He's referring to his GM who's, you know, never traded down before. They're all like, what, did somebody whack you in the head or something? What's wrong with this guy? He did it twice in 2 days. So he's having a little fun. He didn't sell it. I think if he like gave a little more of a laugh and a chuckle, it maybe like would have made us at least, you know, chuckle a little bit more.
That's again one of the reasons why comedy is
comedy hard. Is hard.
Be left to the professionals, definitely not us. That's for damn sure. All right, so Dave Gettleman did trade down twice for the first time in his career as a general manager, and I love the trade down from 11 to 20. Once they got leapfrogged for Devontae Smith by the Eagles, who jumped from 12 to 10. Their next receiver was Kadarius Toney. They got him 9 spots later, and they picked up more stuff. They got a first-round pick next year from the Chicago Bears to go down to 20 and get the guy that, if they had to put a name on the card at 12, very well may have been the name they put on the card, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, the Giants, great offseason. You know, yeah, okay, maybe overpaid a little bit, we know, for Kenny Golladay, but still got players they needed addressed, you know, addressed issues on their team. And Kadarius Toney, you know, yeah, you missed Devontae Smith. Okay, all right, we'll take this freak of nature that's very Tyreek Hill-ish. And we heard Urban Meyer yesterday how badly he wanted Kadarius Toney. So it was a great job by Gettleman. Not only that move right there to still, yeah, address the same position. The offense is dangerous, but that is huge, the first-round pick for next year. And a year where we know all GMs and everybody felt more comfortable picking as compared to this year. And then even the second round, to do business with the Patriots and trade down, and then again address what I think they were worried about and what they needed to address, which was an edge defender, and get Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, a perfect Giants, New England, outside linebacker, physical type of guy. So I'm a big fan. Gettleman, I think, has been thrown under the bus a little too much here in New York. I think for the most part, he's done a pretty damn good job. And I think that's continued here through the offseason. I mean, I like the Giants draft.
So much of it, though, rests on quarterback Daniel Jones, top 10 pick a couple of years ago. And we see these moves. They are eliminating systematically any and all excuses that Daniel Jones could have, and they want him to have that Josh Allen type of a jump this year.
Yes.
Joe Judge was on the Michael Kay Show on ESPN Radio yesterday talking about Daniel Jones and how injuries may be one of the reasons why he has yet to become a shortlist franchise quarterback. Here's Judge from yesterday.
Look, Daniel's the last guy that's going to use anything as an excuse. What I would say about the injury last year is, look, it was
much more serious than maybe people thought on the outside. I'd say probably 90% of the players in the league who would have had that injury, including quarterbacks, would have been on IR for the remainder of the year. That's just the reality of it. It was much more severe than, you know, maybe he allowed people to know or the information that was put out there. And we're going to protect our players by not disclosing everything about their injuries, to be honest with you. But, you know, he fought through a lot of things. He earned a lot of people's respect through what it was. He's a guy that you have a lot of confidence in just because of how the way you see him work on a daily basis.
You got to tread lightly when you talk about things like that. The last thing that the Giants need is the NFL to go back and start comparing the details and specifics of the injury reports to other records that the team may have. You know, it happened when Ben Roethlisberger had his elbow injury week two of 2019 and he was done for the year and he hadn't been on the injury report. The Steelers got fined for that. And it's not a huge fine, but it's just an issue that you don't want, you don't need. It's an unforced error to go into that minefield. And he was kind of on the fringes of that minefield by talking about what Daniel Jones played through, what he didn't play through. Look, guys play through all kinds of stuff. And anytime they say it's not an excuse and then they give you the excuse, it's still an excuse. Just because they use the preface, it's not an excuse, or I don't want to make excuses, then don't say it at all.
Yeah.
If you don't want to make excuses, don't make excuses. Saying I don't want to make excuses doesn't make the excuse that you follow it with not an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right. I don't think it's being used to do excuses. I think it's more to shed the light, like Joe Judge in this situation, on the human being. He's trying to like let everybody know, like, hey, he's really respected in our locker room because of these things. The public doesn't know this, and I think he's trying to get the public to like, hey, respect this guy. There's a little more to him than maybe you realize. I do think there's great respect within that organization for Daniel Jones. One, it's, they believe in him, like Joe Judge said, the work ethic, all those type of things. He's tough as hell. I mean, he's tough it's a little bit of like a gift and a curse. It's what's caused these problems we're watching right here and all of that. He'll stand in the pocket like the Statue of Liberty in the middle of the Hudson River with people all around him and not move or not do anything. And he takes too many big hits. I mean, look at this. It's been like this for 2 years now. And that's where he's got to adjust his game, not only for himself, so his career lasts, but two, the fumbling problem is real. And that those are two things, I mean, or one thing he's really got to fix about his football game. And back to your original point, I think that's like the point here more than anything. Man, they're going to know if Daniel Jones is the quarterback of the future after this year, like you said, there's no excuse. The pressure has now been swung in the Giants organization to Daniel Jones and Jason Garrett. And they're going to have to formulate something here that makes this offense, you know, fun and explosive and puts up yards and points. There's too much talent. You know, there's too many big names now. There's too much money thrown out there to some of these guys. There's going to be a spotlight on this offense and how it performs. And we'll see. Hopefully that means good things for Big Blue, Daniel Jones, and all Giants fans.
One of the first points you made when we started working together 4 years ago that caused me to think, you know what, I may be wrong about this guy. He may know a thing or two about the game, is when you said, you're just going to let that one go, when you said that Eli Manning was screwed up because the blocking was so bad, the clock in his head was accelerating, and
right,
at times he was throwing the ball when he didn't have to.
Right.
Because he was hyper aware,
yes,
of the fact that the walls were going to close in.
Right.
And I see Daniel Jones, who hasn't adjusted at all.
No.
His clock.
No.
And we thought we would see that last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's job number one for Jason Garrett, getting this guy to make his read faster, get rid of the football more quickly. Because when you hold on to it, you get hit. The more you get hit, the more you get hurt. And then we got to go with the backup, whoever the backup is this year. And the more you get hit when the ball's in your hand, the more likely the ball's going to be bouncing around on the turf and the other team's going to recover it and they're going to get a cheap 7 or 3 points and it's going to make it even harder for us to win the game. So there are multiple reasons why they have to accelerate the clock in Daniel Jones' head.
Yeah, there definitely is. And, you know, I think he's a good kid. He's trying to, you know, take the coaching. Hey, I'm going through the reads. That's what happens to a lot of these guys a lot of the times. Added to the fact that, you know, he spent his early part of his career probably witnessing Eli Manning and those things and probably had the coaches telling them, like, hey, you know, sit in the pocket here. We would have liked Eli to sit in the pocket here and make this throw. So that's probably in his mind a little bit too. But it is, Mike, you're right. That's the next phase. It's got to change this year. He can't be putting them in bad situations and taking sacks to make it second and 17 or fumbling the ball and doing those type of things. And added to that, we know he's a pretty damn good athlete. I know he tripped and fell, but damn, he ran 80 yards before that. He's had a lot of other damn good runs too. So it is. It's about he needs to add. It's a little like we talked about with Kellen Mond in the draft, right? He needs to add a little bit more of a backyard element to his game. It can't always be in the pocket. You don't have the 2007 Patriots offensive line. It's got to be 1, 2, 3 real quick. Start looking around. Get the hell out of there. Throw the ball away. Do something. But it is the biggest issue with his game. You're spot on about that.
You either have it or you don't, or you have the ability to acquire it. This is the year that we find out whether or not he has the ability to acquire it. And if he doesn't, maybe Aaron Rodgers will indeed be the quarterback of the Giants next year, although I think that's unlikely. Dave Gettleman.
That would be awesome.
Said,
that would be so awesome. For
everything. would you authorize Rodgers to change the number 11?
Oh, what? I'd be like, screw you, Dad. You better let him have the jersey. Screw you. He's Aaron Rodgers. He wants to wear 11. The hell with it. Well, we'll retire it again after he's done wearing it.
All right, let's take a break. When we return, Bill Belichick's right-hand man is hanging it up. So who's going to take his place? What's that mean for the Patriots? More PFT Live right after this.
We can't control what's going to be on the board. There's 31 of the teams picking. So we just try to take advantage of our opportunities in the draft to improve our team however we can. So that's the way I've always approached it. I really can't I can't work on any other way. I don't feel comfortable going to the draft saying, well, we're going to, you know, take one guy at this position, take another guy at that position, or, you know, like, if it doesn't go that way, then I just don't think you're getting the value, you know, for the picks that you have. Now, look, we've all, you know, made picks that worked out well, and we've all made picks that didn't work out so well. So it's an inexact science, and I'm not saying that, you know, all the decisions are, you know, have been good decisions or bad decisions or anything else.
And development's part of it, too. We talked about that after Robert Kraft said what he had to say about the recent drafts of the New England Patriots. It's not just the guys you take. It's what you do to make them into NFL players, which I think is part of what the Patriots need to fix. But it is a crapshoot. It is inexact. And he gave a much longer answer. We just played part of it. They have a system that isn't just grades. They color code. You know, you have to account for the fact that your needs influence your assessment.
Right.
And anyone who says we always take the best available player is lying.
Right.
Because the best available player, your assessment of it is influenced by what you need. And if you've got Patrick Mahomes and the best available guy on your board is a quarterback, you ain't taking the quarterback unless you want Patrick Mahomes to launch a passive-aggressive effort to be traded the following year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it has to match. You know, yes, it's about like what Bill Belichick is telling you. It's the value of the draft. Okay, we're picking here. All right, we have this need, right? But we have no player that's worth the value of the pick right here with that need. Okay, let's trade down. Let's trade down and maybe, trade down and now we'll address that need lower down to where it meets, you know, where the guys we have that need graded are on our chart, right? Or you stay where you are there and go, okay, this isn't our number one need, but it matches up with what we did, where we got these guys drafted, and this is our number two need. It's all about balancing that. That's why I find, Mike, like their second round pick, Christian Barrymore, when the Patriots trade up, I perk up a little bit, because that means to me they had a guy there at pick 38 in the draft that he was sitting there and they probably had him valued as one of the top 20 players in the draft, and Belichick sitting there or a top 25 players in the draft where he's looking at his board going, wait, it's pick 38. We have this guy valued here. what are we doing? We got to make a move up and go get him then, if that makes sense. And the board must have told them that, because they're not the type of organization that's really going to stray from their board, their formula, anything like that. And that's what's, you know, made them miss at times, but of course has made them build a pretty damn good football team for a long time as well.
Barmore was a guy who was perceived to be sliding because of some issues, work ethic, et cetera. Nick Saban came out and defended him last week, and Nick Saban's not going to put his name on the line.
He doesn't, right.
If there is anything to it, and that was good enough for Bill Belichick. He probably wishes Saban hadn't said anything about it publicly, but they were still able to get him. Ernie Adams, the director of football research, I think was the title, but nobody quite knows exactly what Ernie Adams did other than get things
official
done.
CIA member of the New England Patriots.
Most impressive contribution, Super Bowl 49. He was the one who spotted that shotgun formation, double receivers on each side, Seattle Seahawks, the tendency in short yardage to throw out of that set. So they had Brandon Browner, you pick the defensive back and the other guy's open on the in route. So Brandon Browner held the receiver that was going to be making the pick, allowing Malcolm Butler to make the interception.
Yes.
And that was all something Ernie Adams found. They practiced it that week, and then lo and behold, you get a Super Bowl ring out of it.
We'll never have the full totality of how great Ernie Adams was or how special he was unless Belichick opens up the vault and lets us know all the special things he does for that football team or did for that football team. I don't know. I worked there for a year and a half. I got no clue exactly. He was in a room on the side, Mike. I think I've said this before. I used to love to go in there because I knew he was working on some, like, you know, research project that was high level and nobody else was supposed to know it. I'd walk in because I might have to give him the practice schedule or stuff like that. And he'd be like, as soon as I'd walk in, he'd turn off his TV and close his laptop and cover his notes like it was some top secret mission he was working on. So I always got a kick out of that. But great, great part of that Patriots organization.
Why in the hell did they ever even hire you? They probably thought you were a giant spy.
I don't know.
I had spotted that.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe they were feeding you false information that you were running back to the New York Giants. Of all the teams, the only team that kicked their butt in the Super Bowl before the Eagles did, beat them twice, and they get. And there may be some higher level stuff. Maybe Ernie Adams was behind
that. I'm not that,
too.
Smart.
All right. Well, and they're going to have to replace him now. And that's really the question. Where's the next Ernie Adams come from?
Right.
And do we see that manifest itself in some slippage in what the Patriots are able to do? How much of the genius of Bill Belichick is going to be peeled away by the absence of Adams? Let's take a break. Did the teams in the draft that have great young quarterbacks do enough to help those quarterbacks stay healthy and thrive? We'll talk about that when PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.